This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michael Lewin, longtime Democratic activist and strategist, now a partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick. And, of course, he is the former chief of staff to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. We want to get his thoughts on some critical primaries coming across the country on Tuesday, June 8th, potentially the Super Tuesday equivalent of the midterm election season. And, Michael, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. Great to be here today.
Well, so far this election season, the last thing you want to be is an incumbent, especially a longtime incumbent. We saw Alan Mollahan go down in the House. We saw Arlen Specter go down with the Senate in Pennsylvania. Bob Bennett, the senator in Utah, didn't even get on the ballot for his own primary. Now Arkansas, Blanche Lincoln, failing to get a majority in the first go-around in the Democratic Senate primary. Tomorrow she's one-on-one with the state's Democratic lieutenant governor. A lot of the momentum seems to be against Senator Lincoln. What do you see happening there? What do you suspect will be the result tomorrow?
Well, I'm worried for Senator Lincoln tomorrow. As luck would have it, I spent the earlier part of today with Arkansas's other United States Senator Mark Pryor and a number of Arkansans who we talked at great length about the race. And I guess I'd say the senator and his team are cautiously optimistic for Blanche Lincoln. But the truth be known, I think they're very worried. And given the enormous amount of money and manpower that labor and the liberal activists on the sort of the far side of the Democratic Party have put into defeating her, she may find herself losing in a very light turnout special election tomorrow. So we may have another casualty to add to that rather lengthy list you just articulated, Greg.
Michael, when it comes to the state of Arkansas, it seems to, in recent election cycles, have been trending more Republican. Which candidate do you think gives the Democrats a better shot, even if both might be an uphill shot come November?
Oh, yeah, it is. It probably is, as of today, an uphill shot for either of the Democratic candidates. But there's no question Blanche Lincoln would be the more likely Democratic winner should she catch fire, largely because she is a real moderate. I think she reflects the values of the people of the state of Arkansas. She's not beholden to the left wing of the Democratic Party or the labor union bosses that all too often dictate what happens inside Democratic Party politics. For the very reason she won two times previously, she'd be a much, much stronger candidate than Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, who is her challenger in tomorrow's special election. But, you know, as we've seen in a lot of other places on both parties, the fringe elements seem to be winning these primaries, and it may turn out that they are very weak candidates come November.
And we'll keep watching. As you mentioned, some interesting candidates have won primaries. Michael, another state with some interesting races on the ballot includes our home state of Virginia. Of course, back in 2008, President Obama carrying the state, first time a Democrat did that since LBJ in 1964, and with that came some rather unlikely Democratic pickups in the House. And now, of course, with the political winds having shifted a little bit, those are going to be tougher to defend. You have Tom Perriello, who scored an upset in the Charlottesville area. Democrats picked up Tom Davis's old seat in Northern Virginia. And I believe there's another one that Republicans are looking at down around the Tidewater area. What's your sense of how things are playing out in Virginia right now?
Well, other than the Northern Virginia district, which was Tom Davis's seat, now held by Jerry Connolly, I think he'll hold that seat come November, notwithstanding the fact that there's a very hard-fought Republican primary going on in that seat. It's a seat filled with, you know, high-income people, lots of government workers, and it's a bit more affluent and progressive than the rest of the state. The other two congressmen, you're absolutely right. Listen, they worked hard. They won their elections, but in both 2006 and 2008, there was a bit of an anti-Republican wave sweeping large parts of the country, and I think it captured Virginia as well. Virginia is not a Democratic state. It may be more of a Democratic state today than it was a decade ago. But those two Democratic congressmen, Perriello, and I think it's Nye is the other one, are probably
right
in some difficulty come November. Again, it depends on who wins the Republican primaries tomorrow and sort of how far afield they are from the mainstream sort of moderate values that I think most Virginians have, even as you go south from Northern Virginia into Charlottesville and Southside. Most Virginians are moderates, and if a Republican nominates somebody too far to the right, these two congressmen could find themselves narrow victors come November.
Let's shift to the West Coast now, Michael. And most Californians also pretty dissatisfied with the status quo. And that cuts both ways because the governor, Schwarzenegger, of course, is leaving office and he's a Republican. But the legislature is strongly controlled by the Democrats. We've got a very interesting Senate race shaping up there between Barbara Boxer and probably Carly Fiorina. And then a governor's race that will see a lot of spending as well, as Jerry Brown probably faces Meg Whitman. It's a Democratic state, clearly, overall, if you look at presidential races. But do you sense that there's any shifting of the tides in California?
Well, I don't really think so. It is a Democratic state presidentially and probably for Senate races. But, you know, there have been a number of Republican governors in recent decades, both Republicans who have been elected, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is sort of half a Republican, I guess we could say, but nonetheless more of a Republican than a Democrat. I wouldn't be surprised if the Republicans could capture the governor's seat if indeed they ran a good campaign. I mean, the budget crisis in California, by sort of in a ratio basis, is probably worse than our national budget crisis that we have here. My guess is Barbara Boxer, who's as tough as nails on the campaign trail, will ultimately beat Carly Fiorina. But Fiorina's got a lot of money. She's certainly used it to her great advantage in the primary against former Congressman Tom Campbell. And my guess is it's a 2-3 point race, but in the end, Barbara Boxer wins. The governor's race between the old new Jerry Brown or the new old Jerry Brown, who knows? He oddly enough remains popular out there, but voters may just come to the conclusion that his time came and went, and it would be time, and to bring in Meg Whitman or somebody else might just make some sense out in California right now.
Michael, obviously it varies from state to state, district to district, if you're talking about the House. But there's a lot of debate right now about whether Democrats are running away from the Obama record at this point or whether they need to embrace that, since a lot of them have votes to defend. What's the smarter strategy, and how big of a factor do you think that'll be?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those all politics is local, and it depends on the makeup of your district. I mean, up in large parts of the Northeast, President Obama and his policies still remain very popular, and as you go further south and perhaps into the Midwest, they become somewhat less popular and maybe even unpopular. I think every congressman certainly has to make his or her own decision. There's no question Obama can raise a lot of money. There's no question that he could help solidify the progressive base in a lot of these districts and states. Certainly could help bring out a very substantial African-American and other minority vote. But the truth is, he is not on the ballot. So I think most of these candidates will embrace him with, if you will, with one arm. It won't be a full hug. It'll be a half of an embrace.
Michael, about 60 seconds left here. As you know, of course, Republicans are hoping this year will be a repeat of 1994. You and your fellow Democrats obviously hope that it won't be. But as you look at what may be parallels or may not be parallels, do you sense that it could be another 1994?
Yeah, it could be, but I don't think it will be. For a lot of reasons, including the Democrats have caught this wave a lot earlier than they did back in 1994. There are a lot of things that are still out there that will happen between now and the election. I don't know what's going to go on in the Gulf, whether Obama will come out of that looking good or looking bad. I don't know what will happen between North and South Korea. Will we be at war? Will we go back to a sort of a strained peace? We have difficulties in the Middle East now, not only between the traditional Arab states and Israel, but now between Israel and Turkey. A lot of unknowns out there, but all things being equal, I think the Democrats will lose a lot of seats in the House and a good handful in the Senate, but remain in control, albeit very narrow control, of both the House and the Senate.
Be fascinating to watch as it all unfolds over the next 5 months. Michael, always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Michael Lewin, longtime Democratic activist and strategist, partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick, former chief of staff for Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.